Heavenly Father, we come before you in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the grace and mercy that you show us every single day in our lives. God, I'm so thankful. God, I'm so blessed to have you and your Holy Spirit leading and guiding me. And Lord, I'm also honored to be able to stand before this congregation tonight and help teach and train, mentor, coach concerning your spiritual gifts. Your word says that you do not want us to be ignorant, that you do not want us to be uninformed. And so, God, we're going to do our very best as the leadership of this church to share more and to explain more and to teach about your spiritual gifts. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open up the eyes of our heart, enlighten the eyes of our heart, that we might truly see you for who you are, but also see, understand, and discern the gifts that you have deposited in each one of us. God, I thank you for the people that are here. I just thank you for their commitment, their devotion. And God, I just pray that you would bless them, that you would open up the eyes of their heart tonight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. How many of you need a pen? I've got some extra pens here that I can pass out if you need a pen.
I'm going to say thank you again for coming back on another Wednesday night. Again, I know that it's difficult for some people. It is very difficult for me. So I'm trying to calm myself down. My kids were crazy today. I just dropped them off in childcare. But I'm really excited about this. I want to dig in. I'm excited about the spiritual gift assessment. But we're going to do a little exercise. Everybody have their paper? Okay, so I kind of recapped last week's. Does anybody remember the first thing? It says 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are empowered by one and the same blank, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Does everybody see where I am on this side? Midweek discipleship, intro to spiritual gifts. This is what we covered last week. I left a blank for you to fill it in. Is everybody following? Nod yes. Say it. Yes, Spirit. Who portions to each one individually as he wills, and then who gets the spiritual gifts? Some people, one person, five people, who gets them? Yes. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift. So we are all given a gift, and then who gives them? The Spirit. God. And then we're not going to do this for the sake of time today, but if you can go back through on your own time, I gave four references, one in Romans, one in Corinthians, one in Thessalonians, and one in 1 Peter, as far as what the purposes of the gift of the Holy Spirit is. And I think that we're going to kind of bring that up in the back end of this whole class. On week four, I think we're going to talk about our personal commitment to the body. Because that's the entire point of the whole passage. He's not talking about your gifts for you specifically. He wants you to know about your gifts for the church. So we're going to bring that up again in the back end. So if you want to do some personal study, that will be worth your time. And then we talked about the gift is the expression of the Spirit in the life of believers, which empowers them to serve the body of Christ, which is the church. And we talked about that through the parable of the talents being a measure of potential for investment, a tangible return in someone else's life, in the life of a believer. And we also talked about that being able to make an eternal difference, not just a temporary one, but an eternal difference, and that the master's definition of success is not what we consider success, but it is faithfulness, because he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. So that's just a little recap of last week. This week, what we're going to do is make it a little bit more interactive. So flip your paper over if you can. I have three boxes. Yes, do you have a question?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep a measure of...
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a measure of potential for investment.
You said talent, right? T-A. Can you spell that?
T-A-L-E-N-T in the Bible. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't like a talent, like bike riding or something like that. Right. Okay, everybody with me? So flip your paper over. I have three boxes, and in those references, what we're going to do is we're going to discover what those spiritual gifts are. What does Scripture say the spiritual gifts are? So what I'd like you to do, if the first two rows can take your Bibles, look up Romans 12:6-8, and list them in that box, what you find out those gifts are. And then if the next two rows back, so rows 3 and 4, you guys, you will be 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 11 and 28. List all the ones that you see. And then the back, if you can look up Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, you should discover 5 there. So I'm going to give you a couple minutes to do that. The ones from Romans, do you have them? You have 5 of them. Name them.
Prophesying, mm-hmm. serving, mm-hmm. giving, mm-hmm. Leading, and being mercy.
And then 2 others.
Teaching.
Sometimes. And encouraging. Okay, we have all the 7 from Romans. 1 Corinthians. Is any? You want to name out the ones from Corinthians? Oh. From Romans, okay, I'm sorry, prophecy. We have service, teaching, exhorting, contributing, leading, and acts of mercy. One more time. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhorting, contributing, leading, and acts of mercy. Okay. Anne-Marie, do you want to give us the ones from Corinthians?
Sure.
Okay.
Wisdom.
Knowledge.
Faith.
Healing.
Miracles.
Prophecy.
Discernment of spirits.
Tongues. And interpretations of tongues. And then we continue on in verse 28. Did anybody get those? Or did you already say them and I just missed them? Apostles, prophets, teachers, administration, and helping. Apostles, prophets, teachers, helping, and administration. Miracles, yes. And then, is anybody in the back rows want to give us what Ephesians says? Go ahead. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We have a lot of gifts. And I want to say that I don't think that this was just a specific list. I don't think it was a compilation of all that the Spirit does in a believer. I think it was just kind of, it was a general list. It was a lot of them, but I don't think it's limited to that. I don't believe that at all. I think that what we have as a gift, the word for gift is charisma. If you look down there, it's a gift of grace. It's an undeserved favor. We talked about that last week. You didn't do anything to earn it. It's a gift of grace. And it's a special grace. It's a special ability. It's supernatural. It's done by the Lord. It's not your ability. You might be good at encouraging, but that might not be your spiritual gift. It's a Holy Spirit empowerment to do something. And I also want to say that just because, like, for example, myself, I am not a supernaturally gifted encourager. And yet the scripture commands me to encourage. There's no excuse not to encourage. I'm commanded to do it. So just because it's not my gift doesn't mean that I don't need to grow in that. I do. So exhorting is one of those things. The scripture also tells us that evangelist is a gift. To be an evangelist or the gift of evangelism, you might have a supernatural empowerment to go and share the gospel with unbelievers. But that does not mean that I'm excused from not sharing my faith. In fact, the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 tells me to go and to make disciples and to teach them, to baptize them. And I think that that was a commission for the church. Just because I'm not necessarily gifted at sharing my faith doesn't mean that I'm excused from doing it. Every single believer has a responsibility to share the gospel with those around them and to get better and to be better and better at doing it. So to grow in those things. Also, the gift of hospitality. That's not in one of our lists. There's another reference towards the gift of hospitality. But just because I'm not made and empowered supernaturally to be hospitable doesn't mean that I'm excused from hospitality, because the word tells me to be hospitable to strangers because I might be entertaining angels, right? That's all of us. We're all called to grow in our wisdom. We're all called to excel in the grace of giving. I might not be supernaturally blessed with the ability of generosity. I might struggle with it, but I'm still called to excel in the grace of giving. So don't look at that list and think, well, I'm just this. No, you're still supposed to do acts of the ministry. You're still supposed to do works of service. You're still supposed to grow in these other areas, because the point is that we're becoming more like Christ. Our character is to reflect Jesus Christ to the world, and so we're supposed to be perfect as he is perfect, right? To grow continually towards him, to add to our faith multiple things, daily to walk in him. And so these other things will come along with us. And I also want to say that you might have multiple gifts, not just one. The second thing I wanted to say before we take our assessment is that your confidence needs to rest in God alone, okay? When it comes to spiritual gifts, the assessment is not going to be the end all, the be all end all. It's not going to tell you everything you want to know. It's a good indicator. It's a tool to use. But your confidence needs to rest in God alone. And the reason why I believe that is because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, I want to look at that. It says this: now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And when you look at that word empowers, it says that God empowers them all and everyone. It's this picture of a light bulb and this electrical current going towards this light bulb and lighting it up. And God is that electrical energy in this picture that lights up that light bulb, that brings the gifts to the surface, that makes them known, that makes you aware of them, and enables you to use them. My daughter's, one of her favorite songs is this song called Energy by Hillsong United. And she loves it when I play it. It says, God, you are my energy. And every time I play it, I remind her, I say, this is terrible theology. Because nowhere in Scripture does it say that God is our energy. I would never pray and say, God, you are my energy. That sounds so Middle Eastern and strange. But that's the picture that we're actually getting from Paul, is not that he is our quote-unquote energy, but that he does, like an electrical current, come through us and raise that gift up to the surface so that we can actually use it. So our gift coming to the surface and us being able to use it depends upon him. We should be willing to be used. We should want to be used. But I also think that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says that God is the one who works in us to will and to do his good pleasure. It is God who works in me. And that is the same verb that he uses in this passage for empowerment. He uses it to work, that God is the one that begins in me to want to do his good pleasure. I cannot desire on my own. It is the working of the Holy Spirit in my life to be able to desire, to want to do God's will in this earth. And so it depends upon God, my gifts. So even though we have a responsibility to use them, it depends on God to work in me to want to use it, and it depends upon God to bring it to the surface so that I can use it. And then the third thing I want to say about this God that we have, who's so cool, is that he is the only one that can affirm the gift in you. And affirming, by that I mean that to make it a fact to you. He is the only one that can testify to you what you're gifted. It is not a spiritual assessment. Again, it's a tool. It is the Holy Spirit of God. And the only way that you can know that is by spending intimate time with him and to know him so that he can testify. It says in John chapter 16, 13, that the Spirit of truth guides us into all truth. So your confidence can rest assured that he is going to guide you into the truth of what he created you to do. How can any man tell you what you were created for? Why do we always look to other people to tell us why we were created? They can't. They don't know. My parents might have a good idea,
but they don't really know because they are not my creator.
I wanted to look up one verse to prove this to you. It's 2 Corinthians 2. Not 2 Corinthians 2. I mixed up my Corinthians today while I was writing down my references. It's 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 10. It says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. It's the spirit that searches the mind of God and makes those thoughts known to us. So when we're walking in the spirit, when we're spending intimate time with him, the spirit begins to intercede for us, through us. It is for him and through him and to him that we're called to have our being, right? So the Holy Spirit, God, he empowers us, again, to be able to use our gifts. He empowers us to want to use our gifts. And it is only him that can reveal to us what God created us for. God can bring a man along to confirm, and he should. You should have confirmation from the people that you walk closely to. They should be able to look at your life. Once God shares with you what you're created for, you should be able to go to them and be able to say, look, this is what I believe that God is telling me. And they should be able to tell you if that's accurate. I would say strong pastors, your mentors, not just anybody, but those that are walking in close fellowship with you as a believer. Something that Pastor David has never done for me is sat me down and told me what God created me for. And no matter how many conversations I've had with him about giftings, he has never said, even if I've asked him, he has never told me what I was created for. Because he knows that if a man tells me what I'm created for, and that's my confidence, then when another man comes and tells me, you weren't created for that, you were created for this, then I'll be a mess. I can't know. For myself, my confidence cannot be in a man's opinion. My confidence in how God desires to use me on the face of this earth can only be founded in an intimate understanding and relationship between myself and God. Does that make sense? So Pastor Grace is going to come up. I think we're going to take the spiritual gift assessment. It's very useful. I've taken a lot. I do it. I like to learn about why I'm here. And so, but again, the gift did not tell me. It was God that started confirming things. But it is a good tool. I'm excited. You should be excited to use it. I think it can be very helpful.
All right. So, a couple of things that I want to talk about real quick before we get into the assessment tonight, because one of the things that can happen in an assessment and a survey is that you can get really bogged down if you have a brain that is wired like my brain and you try to figure this thing out. All right? So I'm going to encourage you early on, try not to figure this thing out, which one's administration, which one's prophecy, which one's pastor. Just really go with your first gut instinct. Go with what answer these things just as close to being honest and true. I know none of you in here would cheat on this thing, all right? But remember, this is not a test. This is an assessment, or some people would say it is a survey. Can I get a couple people helping me pass these out? Alex. All right, so to kind of follow up with what Amy said about the affirmation of the gifts that God has given you, that he's deposited in you, absolutely true. The Spirit of the Lord is the one that needs to affirm these gifts. But you will have the opportunity at times to have those gifts confirmed. And I think that that's even important. There's a difference between affirming and confirming. And so so just know that Amy and I talked about that today, about the affirming by the Holy Spirit and the confirming by leaders. So, you need some more? Okay, so before we get into any of this, there's a couple of gifts that are not listed on here. I have done a lot of these gifts assessments over the years, probably dozens, and even researching, trying to find just the right one or just the best one. There's just so many different ones out there. So I'm going to ask you to kind of just walk with me through this for a moment. Just understand, like for example, in this particular one, the gifts of tongues, an interpretation of tongues is not on this. It's kind of difficult, even as you go and read over some of the assessments and surveys, it's kind of difficult to assess that in a survey, and you will actually understand that if you were to go through some of the more of the teaching and the training. And we'll get to the whole tongues because that's probably in the interpretation. There's probably more controversy over that than there is any other gift, and we'll tackle that at a later date. But please just kind of be patient with us. So if you look at the top of the page on the Discover Your Spiritual Gifts, Ken Hemphill defines a spiritual gift as an individual manifestation of grace from the Father that enables you to serve Him and thus play a vital role in His plan for the redemption of the world. Peter Wagner defines a special gift as a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ. Amy touched on this a while ago. Who gets the gifts? Everybody in the church gets the gift. So everybody in the body of Christ, to God's grace for use within the context of the body. And it says a spiritual gift is an expression of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers, which empowers them to serve the body of Christ, the church. Now, we're not going to get into all of these. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor tonight. I'm going to ask you to, we are through going through this assessment tonight and you go home, part of your homework is going to be to go through each one of these and understand on your own before we really dive into this the next time we meet the difference between some of these gifts. You're going to find that there are some of these gifts that overlap some. I'm going to give you a good example. Leadership and administration can overlap some. But when you get to the gifts of wisdom and the word of knowledge, although they kind of can be and sound somewhat similar, there is a difference between them. And it's important to understand the difference between a word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Okay, so I'm not going to go through all of these tonight. That is going to be your homework. And believe me, once you figure out what your gifts are tonight, and I had someone ask me this the other day, can your gifts change over the years? What do you think?
They can manifest.
I believe they can change, or not necessarily change. But can you grow in them and now begin to walk in them? Does that make sense? Because you might have a gift early on, maybe not realize it, maybe you're ignorant to it, but maybe you do realize it, but you don't know how to use it. I was there for a long time. I had a gift, maybe two gifts, that I really didn't know how to use. And I had to begin to spend time with people who could teach me, train me, mentor me in how to use that gift. I was talking to Amy about this today. How many of you in here play golf? Anybody play golf? Nobody. Two. I got two people. All right. When you play golf, when you first start to play golf, the most important, absolutely most important thing in being able to hit the golf ball is what? What is that? Keep your head down. Does that sound pretty simple? Does that sound pretty simple? It does sound pretty simple. I mean, if I gave you a golf club and I had each one of you come up here one at a time tonight And I said, okay, all I want you to do is I want you to swing that club and I want you to keep your head down. The majority of you would keep your head down. But if I take you out to the golf course and I tee up a golf ball and I ask you to keep your head down and you've never played golf before, and I ask you to keep your head down and hit that golf ball, the majority of you would lift your head because what? You want to see where the golf ball's going. Can I tell you, just like golf and learning disciplines and trying to master something like playing golf, there's things when we get spiritual gifts, God deposit those spiritual gifts. Remember, it's a gift. We have a responsibility then to begin to learn how to use that gift. I almost brought my son has a drone, but it's a weird looking drone. Like, I didn't even know it was a drone. I'm telling you, it is really, really weird. And I was going to set it up here, and I was going to ask how many of you know what this is. Most of you probably would have known. I didn't know what it was when I first saw it. But then I would have asked, how many of you know how to use this? How many of you know how to operate it? There would be maybe a small minority that if I gave you the control, that you would be able to fly it without hurting someone in here, right? When we get gifts, it's important that we take the time, like you guys are taking the time, to find out more about it, but then to be trained, mentored, and even coached, and then disciplining yourself, like the golfer, keeping that head down, in how to use your gift. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on in the upcoming weeks. Okay, so if you'll turn to the next page, it would actually be page 3 if there were numbers on this. It says Spiritual Gifts Survey Directions. This is not a test. I want you to look at someone next to you, someone around you, tell them this is not a test. There is no failing this. There is no passing this. But I will say this, and I already said this, I just want to reiterate it. Just be honest with yourself. You're not going to do yourself any good trying to figure this thing out or not being honest with yourself, okay? And then if you're not doing yourself any good, you're definitely not doing the body any good, okay? All right, so if this is not a test, the spiritual gifts, this survey consists of 80 different statements. Some items reflect concrete actions, other items are descriptive traits, and still others are statements of belief. Now, kind of walk with me through these little bullet points. Select the one response you feel best characterizes yourself and place that number in the blank provided. Record your answer in the blank beside each item. Number 2, do not spend too much time on any one item. Remember, it is not a test. Usually your immediate response is best. Number 3, please give an answer for each item. Do not leave any of them blank. Okay? Do not leave any of them blank. And do not ask others how they are answering or how they think you should answer. Husbands, don't ask your wives what they think. All right? I know the wives would never do that, but us husbands sometimes have a little bit of an inferiority complex, and we think we need everybody's help. All right? Next one, work at your own pace. Hey, this could take anywhere between 10, 15 minutes for some people, but some people it might take 20 to 25 minutes or maybe a little bit longer, especially when we get to the end. And I'm going to tell you how the scoring works. Because you're going to need to score your own little thing and adding up the points here. I'll tell you how that works in a minute. But just, you know, take your time tonight in doing that. So listen to the responses. You've got 1 of 5 responses. We're going to start with the number 5. Your response choice number 5 is, this is highly characteristic of me, definitely true for me. So let's look at question number 1 there. It says, I have the ability to organize ideas, resources, time, and people effectively. Okay? Now, this would basically mean that you are a great planner and organizer. If you're not a great planner or organizer, your number is not going to be 5, 4, or probably even 3. It's probably going to be a 1 or a 2. All right? So let's look at the rest of them, what the rest of them say. Number 4, most of the time this would describe me, be true for me. Number 3, frequently characteristic of me, true for me about 50% of the time. Number 2, occasionally characteristic of me, true for me about 25% of the time. And number 1, not at all characteristic of me, definitely untrue of me. All right? So any questions on how to figure that out? How to score it as far as putting your answers? Okay. Now everybody turn to the very last page where it says scoring your survey. Are you there with me? Your other second part of your homework is going to be on the back page of that where it says graphing your profile. All right, y'all are going to be responsible for graphing your profile and bringing this back the next time we meet. Okay? All right, so let's look at the scoring survey. It says follow these directions to figure score to each spiritual gift. Number one, place in each box your numerical response, 1 through 5, whatever it was. So, to the item number which is indicated below the box. For number two, for each gift, add the numbers in the boxes and put the total in the total box. So item 6 is basically question 6. So you'd have to look back at question 6. Now here's how I typically score this. It just seems to work a little bit quicker for me. It might not work this way for you. I normally go and find number 1, number 2. I get the numbers on those. I come back here and I write them down. That makes sense. So I look at question number 1 and I see that I have a 5 on question number 1. I come over here, I find item number 1, I put my 5 there. That makes sense? And that seems to work a little bit faster for me to be able to score it, but if you want to go back and look and kind of keep track of, you know, item 16, I mean, you can do that. Some people are cool with that. Some people it works a little bit quicker and faster. I'm just, you know, trying to give you a little bit of heads up. All right? Is everybody ready? Everybody's ready. Any questions about it before we dive off into this? All right, I'm going to pray for you one more time. Father, I come before you in Jesus' name again, and I just thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here. And I just pray, Father, that you would begin again to open up their understanding. God, allow them to be honest with you, with themselves. And then, Lord, I just pray that you would bring confirmation, affirmation, even through this assessment, Lord. This is not the end-all, God. We know that these assessments are not the end-all. But they're a good tool for us to kind of start with and to use. And so, God, reveal, bring fresh revelation to us tonight that we can kind of know what our place is and what our responsibilities are to the body. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, get after it. So what I want to do is you can finish the scoring portion of that at home, because like I told you, you got a little bit of homework anyway, and make sure that you put a little note in your phone or something, bring this back in a couple of weeks. But what I want to do before we dismiss tonight, we want to give an opportunity, Amy, if you'll come up, we want to give an opportunity for any kind of questions and answers. I know that there's got to probably be some questions concerning typically, especially in new believers, when we give this, a lot of people, they don't understand. They will say, oh, well, I thought I was a naturally born leader and I only scored 12 out of 25. And so, you know, we kind of get some of those kind of things typically. But any questions that we can help, hopefully, give a little bit of assistance with, Mr. Jim. Can you come to the mic, because they are recording this, the mic right here? If you'll just come to the mic, and or Amy will bring it to you. Thanks, Amy.
Anybody can answer this, because I've only been going 8 weeks to church, so I'm lost. I've had a hard time picking that book up. Has anybody got any hints of how they do it, where they do it at a certain schedule, or that's my major problem as of right now. I have a problem of making myself picking it up and reading it. Does anybody, when they start it first ever, did they ever do something to make sure they say, okay, I'm going to, can I get a hint?
Fox says he'll share, and I will say this on a little side note, I'm actually going to be preaching Sunday about connection, about the desire, the devotion, and the disciplines of staying connected to the vine. And two of the main things I'm going to be talking about is prayer and the Word. And I'm going to share kind of what we're up against as far as the distractions, but I will share a little bit of that on Sunday. But Fox, what do you got, son?
I think the most crucial part of the Bible is the time that Jesus was on this earth. So the Gospels, I would recommend, you know, Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, reading those, getting those into you, then following it up with the rest of the New Testament. The Old Testament's a little hard to understand. I had a guy that basically anybody in class would ask him a question. He didn't even have to pick up the Bible. He would just tell you verse and chapter, boom, boom, boom. And I asked him, I said, how do I get like that? How do I know how to do that? And that's what he told me. Just basically read those Gospels first, Mark, Matthew, Luke, John.
Yeah, and I can actually cover a little bit of that too, Jim, because one of the main things you have to do, just like anything else, that if you're wanting to really get good at something, you're going to have to set disciplines, and you're going to have to discipline yourself, even with reading the Word. Most people find it best first thing in the morning. Now, I know you, because of your job, you get up super early, and I'm talking like hours before it's daylight. So your situation is going to be a little bit different than what the majority of people would be able to do, because you've got to be up sometimes 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So that's going to be a little different. So you might find that your discipline's going to have to be, man, as soon as I get home, before I go and get a bite to eat, before I do anything, I'm going to make sure that I open up the Word of God. Even if you've got to set reminders on your phone, when you're first starting out, you have got to set some disciplines in your life to make sure that you are doing it. And it's the same thing with prayer. Right. You can use your phone to kind of set as reminders that, hey, you know what? I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make a commitment to the Lord. I'm going to do this when I get home, before I eat a sandwich or before I do anything else. I'm going to sit down at the table and I'm going to read. And I want to give, and this is for anybody else, because and Jim, I don't think Jim would mind me. Jim's a newer believer. And I think one of the things that that can happen sometimes, especially in if we get into comparison mode, but it's important that as we're setting the disciplines, that we start out small. One of the greatest mistakes we can make is that, oh, you know what, especially if I don't have a consistent prayer life, well, I'm going to give the Lord an hour of day. I'm going to be quiet, I'm going to be still, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to tell you, after about day two or three of that, you're probably not going to be doing it again or doing it anymore. Start out slow. Start out small. Start the commitment out and grow and build into that discipline. Pastor Greg, what would you have to say about that? Absolutely. Put him on the mic, because people need to hear that.
I just think that it's good to connect with other people who are praying or studying the Word and hearing them express it, mm-hmm. and not feeling like it all has to be on you, because I hitchhike on other people's prayer. I'll feel the life in that, or the faith in it, mm-hmm. or the connection they're having with God in it. And it's like it just lifts me. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think we need to be overwhelmed by, you know, how far we're going, how fast right. we're getting there.
Right.
Just, you know, touch the life of God in it. It's more to connect with God in what you're doing than just trying to go through material.
Yeah. Yep. Miss Jean, wait for the mic. You will.
I would suggest that you also, and maybe you already have this, is a New Living Translation, because to me that's the easiest one to understand, especially when you're a new believer.
That's a question we get quite often, is what translation, you know, what Bible, what kind of Bible do you know, New Living Translation. Pastor preaches a lot out of the ESV, and that is a good, you know, fairly good. I know a lot of people don't like this translation, the Message, because it's it can be a little watered down, so to speak, but I will say this, it really is more, I hate to even use this word, probably too relevant, maybe, Jim? As far as the kind of wording and everything that we use in our culture, but NLT, the ESV that Pastor preaches out of, and then the Message, you know, one of those three are probably a good thing to start with. And then I would also suggest, and this has always been something that's helped me just because of the way I'm wired, I try to find a short devotional that I can read every single day that kind of points and directs me to the Word. So I'm getting inspired, and usually in those short devotionals, there's 2, 3, sometimes 4 or 5 verses, but the devotional has also got some like almost like commentary that's going to help inspire, kind of get a point across if it's maybe about giving or maybe about serving or hospitality or whatever it might be. It's really going to drive the point home in the devotional, but it's giving me scripture that it's based upon, and it's going to really kind of catapult me. Does that make sense? So if you can find a good devotional like that, I've got one I can tell you about afterwards. We can talk a little bit about it. Anybody else? Any other question? All right, Mr. John is yawning. That means I need to shut this thing down. That means I need to shut this down and shut it down now. I can only do that because he loves me and has gone to bat for me. I'm telling you, this guy right here, I want you to stand up. I want you to see the guy that's, stand up, brother. I want you to see the guy that's responsible for saving my marriage. Stand up. Stand up. This guy right here is responsible for saving my marriage. He actually, everybody knows that when you come through the courtyard, you see that bike that's on the side there, that's that kind of antique looking thing with they've decorated with orchids and now it's decorated for Thanksgiving. I'm not a very creative guy. Now this is how the body works with the gifts. He is extremely good. He did that. He made that thing. I wanted to give one to my wife for either Mother's Day, birthday, or our anniversary. And I kept telling her, baby, I'm working on a project, because it would take me forever if I was going to try to do that. He helped me, and she absolutely loved it. So I'm very thankful that that he's helped save my marriage along the way. Somebody had their hand back here? Was that Nikki or?
He needs the assessment.
Oh, you didn't get the assessment? Oh, I am so sorry. All right. So if there are not any other questions, everybody is good? All right, we want to close in prayer. Now, if you've got anything else, and Amy, did you want to add anything else to any of that?
No.
As far as the... Okay, if you have anything else you want to come to us, we'll be up here to talk. Pastor Vernon, Pastor Greg, both are extremely beyond Amy and I in their years of experience and maturity in the faith and teaching and preaching. I love listening to both of them, and they pour into me and then into my life, and I'm very thankful for that. And that's the thing I tell people about, and I'll use this as an example, and we'll close in prayer. The moment you stop investing, and you having people invest in you, and I say this about marriage, the moment you stop investing in your marriage begins to die. Well, I believe the moment that you stop taking people, investing in you, the Pastor Gregs, the Pastor Vernons, who are going to pour into me, who are not afraid. Pastor, I can tell you right now, I have a good enough relationship with this man. I can tell you right now that if he saw something in me that wasn't quite right, or he saw something in me that needed to be done, that needed to be changed, that needed to be tweaked, that needed to be, I needed something to be done, he would speak it into my life. Can I tell you why he would do it? It wouldn't be because he wanted to correct me. Why would you do it? But the bottom line is, he would do it because he loves me. And I do not doubt one minute that this man loves me. And that's really how the body of Christ works. We are the body, and we help each other. We want to encourage each other. We want to challenge each other as well. And I know he would speak into my life because he loves me. And he wants me to get to the fullness of what God has called me to do. And he sees that I'm not there. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we come before you again in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the words that you have spoken through Amy. We thank you for the tool that we have used tonight to get a better understanding of the gifts that you have deposited in each one of us. And God, this is extremely important in the life and the body of a believer, a group of believers. And God, I just thank you for, again, for the people who are committed and who want to learn a little bit more. They want to learn a little bit more about you. They want to learn a little bit more about themselves, but they also want to learn what their role and responsibility is in the body. God, continue to open up our hearts, our eyes, our minds. Lord, just use us. Use us to fulfill your purposes, and may your kingdom come and will be done here on earth as it is in heaven through us. Thank you again. I pray your blessings upon each one of them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.